Have you heard me talk about GapArborSupply.com? That's not much of a surprise because, well, first off, they're one of my sponsors. But do you know how they became one of my sponsors? You might think they called me up and said, hey, we'll pay you to put our name on your podcast or website or whatnot. Well, that's not how it happened at all. I actually found out about GapArborSupply.com through some of the climbers that I follow on Instagram. And one day, Zigzag Man said that they were having a deal, so I chose to give them a go. Man, am I happy that I did. I bought from them and was super impressed with their customer service, the pricing, and all the benefits you get from the other companies out there, really. What did I get? Well, I got 2-day free shipping on orders over $100. I got very competitive pricing. I found that when I called and talked to both Ray and Kyle, they knew exactly what I was looking for. They understood terms that were common in the industry. And on top of all of that, they had experience from talking to local climbers about what it was that was working, wasn't working, what might fit my style, and what might not. They understand small tree service companies as well as large ones. So if you're looking for a supplier that understands you and knows how to help you, give GapArborSupply.com a go. If you don't find what you're looking for on their website, don't sweat it. Give them a call. They might have it in store. It just may not be listed yet on their site. You guys may not know this, but I had a podcast in the past, and it was a fun thing to do, but it was a challenge to get my podcast to all the locations where everybody listened to podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the such were just a lot of work to manage to get everything where it needed to be. Now, though, I found Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors too so that you can get paid to podcast. How awesome is that? Honestly, I'm really happy to find Anchor again because I love podcasting. I love talking about what I do and sharing with you all the things that I like to do as well. So if you're interested in starting a podcast like I am, go to anchor.fm/start. That's anchor.fm/start and join today for your free podcast and become part of the community. I can't wait to hear what you put out on anchor.fm/start. Hey everybody, welcome back to Elevated Office. My name is Eric McGrew. This is season 2, episode, what is this? Episode 9, I think it is. Little confused. I've done like 3 episodes today, so sorry for that. But the good thing is that I'm actually having my first guest on the show, which I've been trying to get together with different people, but life's crazy. So today we have zigzagman.zr, also known as Zach Richards. And he is a contract climber. Is that right, Zach?
Yes, sir.
And we're going to talk just a little bit about climbing today. So, I have a couple of important things to talk or to mention about Zach for you guys to know. One is that Zach was one of the first guys I communicated with and contacted with on Instagram when I started posting about climbing and all that stuff. And he was nice enough to indulge me and help me out with some questions, which was super cool. And another thing is, he's one of the reasons I am actually an ambassador of Gap Arbor Supply. So did you know that you are one of the reasons I am a Gap Arbor Supply ambassador?
Well, I think I kind of halfway figured it. I was one of the first guys that was actually like an ambassador for a brand. And so, you know, as a result, a lot of guys that I know that are in with Gap kind of got in just because I was posting the hell out of it, you know.
Yeah.
I know I spam a lot. Some guys, they say it to me. But, yeah, that's part of it. You know, I just try to promote them. They're good guys in there, and they've always kind of taken care of me. So I just try to do the same for them.
Yeah, they're super good guys. So Zach posted, I want to say it was around Black Friday or something last year, that, or this year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That they were having a sale, and I was actually going to shop with some of the other better known sites, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, because you posted, yeah, I actually went and gave them a try, and then I posted about them on Instagram, and Ray said, and then I went and placed another order, and Ray was like, "Hey, Eric, do you look at your account?" I was like, "No, why?" He's like, "I want you to be an ambassador." I was like, "Okay."
Nice, dude.
Yeah. And
yeah, Ray's a good guy, man. He's been trying more and more to get into the social media market, and I think it's really helped so far, which is good for us, you know, because we keep promoting his business, and he keeps helping us out. So
yeah, and I've been trying to help him on the backside too. I've been trying to.
Yeah, I think it works, man. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's anytime you're trying to get a new thing going. I mean, they're not like super new to the arborist industry, but new to trying to like popularize it, is that right, on social media, and compete with some of the bigger companies. So, he's really into the benefits of social media and helping climbers out too. So,
yeah, and I mean, people understand this is, but it is not a commercial for Gap.
Yeah, no.
It's a natural commercial for Gap because Zach and I really appreciate them, like, genuinely. It's not because they support us as sponsored. It's because they deserve it, honestly. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Honestly, they are everything that I had been looking for in a company that supplied climber and arborist equipment, right? They have knowledge. They're willing to spend the time to talk to you and let you ask questions and do research for. I mean, they're just upstanding people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hear a lot of guys say on social media about them and maybe some of the other small ones, you know, it's like tree stuff used to be. And I think that's pretty well hits the nail on the head because Gap is a customer service oriented. They try to be cool. They know names of people that call in there and people that order online, and it's just more of a friendly type thing. And they got real climbers that work in there, you know. So
yeah, Kyle knows the stuff. I mean, Ray does too, but Kyle knows the stuff, bro.
Kyle was a production climber for like 12 years, a really good one at that. I mean, like SRT and into all the modern stuff, but just overall, like, I mean, he's an athletic good climber.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, that helps,
does
right?
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps to talk to somebody that was doing it for a living and who was good at it, you know, because he'd give you honest feedback on gear that maybe worked for him or didn't work for him.
Yeah, and he keeps his finger to the pulse. Like, he knows what kind of stuff is people are berating, like downgrading, but it's because they're not real smart about their use of it. You know, like you have those jokers out there climbing on stuff and they're like, "Oh, this is horrid. It's the worst thing ever." But like just talking to them, you get the feel of like they don't really know what they're doing or they're just nuts.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Yeah. There's, I mean, there's some gear out there that I've recommended to people. They try it out and they come back and give me negative feedback on it. And you know, like that's really why there's so many different options out there. I mean, every company's got their own take on different applications for different types of products. And you know, I just say, you know, if you don't like it, you don't got to use it. And I don't even mean that in kind of like a tough guy way. You know, it's just
no, it's just there's so other options out there that works.
Yeah, you know, if you don't like this pair of chainsaw pants, then you might like this pair. If you don't like this rope, you like this rope. And you know, it's all opinions, and there's a lot of stuff to do the same thing with. So.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why there are different brands, right? Like, that's why other things have been born, is because
the
original one out there didn't work for everybody's preference.
And so many different brands are successful, you know, marketing such similar products.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, I mean, how many different companies are making a carabiner? Like,
dude,
pretty much they're all almost identical. Like, maybe one gate turns a little bit different than the other, but they're all almost the same, you know. But you can talk to climbers about it, you know, this carabiner sucks and this one sucks. The only one to use, and that's just the way it is.
I mean, and it's like little nuances that just annoy you as a person, right? Like for me, the notch carabiners are affordable, you know.
Yeah. But
the grip on the gate, it just like, if you, even my hands, like when I'm climbing an aspen, I get that chalky dust on them.
Oh, and you see, you got it there. I don't have aspens out my way.
Yeah. So like,
every now and then, but not really. They're not indigenous to my area.
But what out there, is there anything out there that the bark is like a smooth bark and it has a powder kind on it? Like when you touch
sycamores. Yeah. You might have sycamores your way too.
Yeah. We don't have many sycamores out here, but yeah, you know what I mean? You touch the bark and then it gets a powder on your hands, and then
you gets try it all to grab over your climbing pants and stuff.
Yeah. And you try to grab like a notch carabiner gate and it just doesn't have that grip.
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've always been partial to like Rock Exotica carabiners.
Yeah, but, dude, those are great.
You know, yeah, but for my system, I've really gotten into the DMM. They're called Duralocks. They're like quad lock gates. Yeah, I really like them. I mean, they're big, thick gates that you can manipulate with gloves on. A little bit of a funky motion at first, but once you get used to it. For me, it just kind of provides a little bit of an extra level of security, because I've actually had the tri-locking gates on like Petzels and Rock Exoticas open in the tree, just like moving and rubbing along branches. Yeah, you can mimic the motion pretty easily just by rubbing it along a limb a certain way.
Huh.
And that was just me. I mean, should probably be more careful about the gates of my carabiners rubbing against stuff, but sometimes that's not the case.
Who has time to be careful?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we try to be, but you know, if I can get I'm just gear that makes it a little bit easier to be careful, or maybe a little bit more forgiving when I'm not.
Yeah,
my type of gear.
How long did it take you to get used to those quad locks?
Honestly, not that long. You know, I like to play with stuff when I get it, so you know, I mean, I was pretty well used to it by the end of the first day that I bought it, just because I had it and I just kept messing with it because I like to hear it, you know, snap closed and whatever. Yeah.
So I mean, I'm
kind of obsessed with gear.
No, not you.
Yeah, no. Nah.
So I hear that the gate's a little bit thicker, right? Like in diameter.
It is. Yeah. Because it's like double sleeved. There's two sleeves on it. So you gotta, it's actually like a reverse motion initially. If you've ever seen them, they're purple and green. So the purple one's the outside, you turn it back, and you have to lift the purple. And when you lift it, you kind of catch like a little bit of a gear for the green one. And then you actually go back the other way, and that's what lets you open it. But it'd be a pretty difficult motion to do accidentally.
Yeah.
Which was kind of what I was going for.
Gotcha. So is that something that, like, the thickness of that diameter, does it impede your climbing much, or do you feel it on like your harness much, or
No, it doesn't bother me at all. Once it's locked on, I don't even notice it. I guess if you're pretty in double rope, like I do a lot of double rope for removals. And so when you're advancing your tie in there, I guess I've heard complaints. They don't, it's hard to get used to when you're clipping and unclipping and advancing your line.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it's like anything. Some guys are going to like it. Some guys aren't. For me personally, I don't really felt like it took that long to get used to.
Yeah, I was just curious. I've never used them before. You know, I've seen them, but and I've played with them. I want to say it. Arbor Fest last year, I was messing with
them. Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think I've ever dealt with, you know, them really. So I was just curious. So what's your current setup right now? What is your go-to climbing setup currently?
Well, I mean, it just kind of depends on what I'm doing that particular day. You know, today I was quote unquote pruning, which is more or less a pre-removal. Like we were just removing like a super large lead off a beech tree, tree slated for removal. But for now, we needed to get this lead off that's hanging over his neighboring business. So I was not wearing spikes, and I prefer single rope when I'm not wearing spikes. You know, I have the I don't like wearing ascenders with spikes, so I'll just say that now. I don't know why, but I don't really like it. So utilizing redirects and things like that to get myself into good working positions when I'm without spikes. And lately I've been on the rope wrench with Yale cordage calamine, which is like Blue Moon basically, but pink and purple. I like the rope runner a lot with Ecstatic. So I do like to change it up, but primarily I go SRT when I'm pruning and double rope when I'm doing removals. And none of that's set in stone, but you know, it's a pretty safe bet that if I'm removing something, I'm probably climbing double rope.
So
and then I go with the Spider Jack. It's probably my favorite. I use the Zigzag a lot too. It's simple, but yeah, I like the Spider Jack.
So what's the deal with double roping with removals for you? I mean, why do you go specifically double rope for removals over SRT for removals as well?
Well, typically when I'm doing removals, I'm wearing spikes. So one is I don't like ascenders with spikes. Mm-hmm. And I think single rope is difficult without ascenders.
It is, for sure.
You know, and the reason I don't like ascenders with spikes is, you know, spikes, like I wear geckos and the tree gaffs are angled out, kind of, I don't know. It obstructs the rope walking motion to where I feel like I'm going to spike my calf. So I just don't even mess with it because I think that would be a terrible way for the day to end if I spiked myself in the leg.
That would be a bad way.
Yeah, and with devices like the Spider Jack in particular, but the Zigzag will do it too if you're set up right. They'll self-tend to where you can just pull hand over hand above the device and the rope will just, you know, just flow through the device. The device just eats slack. I find it really, really easy to ascend a tree if I'm on spikes, if I can just pull hand over hand and kind of walk up the backside of the tree with the spikes.
Yeah.
You can use your lanyard for a little extra support there if you need it. And then also when I'm moving out, because I don't utilize redirects a whole lot when I'm doing removals.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal preference. I don't want to have to keep track of too many different rope paths. You know, I'm watching, I do a lot of rigging, so I'm watching the rigging rope and I'm watching my climbing rope, and I just find it easier to deal with not redirecting. But, you know, when you're wearing spikes and a lanyard, it's easy. I think it's easy to get around even with a steep rope angle. You're just using your rope for balance. You're mostly in your spikes and lanyard, and it's nice to have that 2-to-1 mechanical advantage that you get from double rope.
Yeah.
Just kind of pull yourself around the tree. And then also when it comes time to take the top, it's really easy to retrieve my tie in because it's always with me. I don't have to, you know, not a lot of guys are base tying for removals. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're base tying for removals, I think, and not anything against it, but a lot of times I think guys kind of revert to it because that's what they know.
Yeah.
Canopy tie, they might not know a lot of different canopy ties, but, you know, even if you're canopy tying with a single line, you still have to you still have to be able to get back to that retrieval line, and that's not always that easy sometimes. So, you know, if I'm climbing double rope, I can pull my tie in whenever I want and blow a top or move it around or whatever I need to do.
So what are you using for your tie-in, your spar tie-in or your top tie-in for your double rope system and removals?
I have a pulley saver, which is a great friction saver for cinching off to a spar.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen how the pulley saver, if you're not familiar how it is, it's basically a loop on one end of the rope and a pulley on a prusik, a pinto pulley that you can adjust, and you can adjust it to be perfect so that when you pass that pulley through the loop on the end of the rope, it literally just cinches off like a running bowline would.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your moving rope system through the pulley. That's a good way to secure yourself to a spar. Mostly I use a thimble saver, which is Teufelberger's version of the ring and ring, basically.
Mm-hmm.
One way to do that is to just pass the thimble saver around the spar and adjust it so that the rings are, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 inches apart. And then when you pass your double rope system through both the rings and pull it, it kind of cinches tight. That's a lazy way to do it, I think. if I'm climbing with a zigzag or a hitch and I can quickly switch over to SRT, the reason I say zigzag or a hitch is because the other device I use a lot is the spider jack, and that's really not, there's no way to make that work for SRT.
Yeah.
But if I'm climbing on a zigzag or a hitch, a lot of times when I get onto the spar, I'll switch over to SRT.
Gotcha.
And I'll shorten the thimble saver all the way. So, you know, the thimble saver is an adjustable ring and ring. Mm-hmm. I'll shorten it all the way to where it's about 6 or 7 inches long at that point and use it much in the same way that guys use the soft bait. Like, I have a soft bait for a canopy anchor.
Yeah.
And I'll actually switch over to SRT and pass my rope through the big ring, around the tree and through the small ring, and then jam with a knot, and then I'm cinched. So
yeah, and then you're only managing releasing and dropping down the cinch like a second lanyard, basically, right?
Yeah, I can just I make it retrievable. You know, I leave a little bit of a long tail on it, and you know, usually when you're negative rigging down wool, going down whatever 8-10 feet depending on the diameter of the wood. So yeah, I'll leave like an 8-foot tail on it, and I'll just spike down with my lanyard and descend on my single rope system, and then retrieve it, reset the rigging and move about.
Yeah. So what I was saying though is when you're blocking off the top before you get down to felling length, You're just opening it up each time and moving it down like you would a lanyard, and then re-cinching, right? To your next work position?
To my next work position, yes. Yeah. Maybe I think I'm trying to picture what you're describing. What I do, like when I jam the thimble saver, I jam it with like an Alpine butterfly knot or something.
Yeah.
And I'll leave whatever length of log that I think I'm going to take, that's how long of a tail I'll leave below the Alpine butterfly. And that helps if you can picture it. It's a single rope system that's retrievable.
So you're doing you're essentially using it as a top tie each time, and you're rappelling down another 10 foot. Then you're grabbing it and opening it up and sliding it down to you.
Yep. And what's cool about that is I have a tie in above me. It gives me a good balance point, so I can take my time, reset the rigging, you know, run the rigging rope through, and then most of the time I'm retrieving my system before I make a notch. So on really big diameter stuff, I sometimes will make a notch before I retrieve my system. But I don't know how loud I for a long time I didn't feel that good about that either. But on bigger diameter stuff, it's hard to believe that my weight pulling straight down is gonna
make it
gonna fail a piece of wood. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. I like that. So I'm gonna have to try that. I want you to make a video of that for me on Instagram because.
Yeah, I might do that with the thimble saver.
Yeah, what I've been doing is I usually use because, well, it's interesting. We've talked about a lot of stuff through Instagram, you know, chatting and things. But what's interesting is the fact that like you talking about why you double rope for removals has made me rethink, because I don't moving rope system anything. Like I am 90
strictly SRT.
Yeah, I'm like 98% SRT, right? But the reasons you're talking about using it with a set of spurs makes me rethink it, because I gaff my boot all the time.
Rope walking.
Rope walk.
It's tough.
And also on top of that, it would be easier sometimes just to pull myself up with the leverage of a pulley while I'm gaffing, instead of trying to use a lanyard or having to rope walk like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. And I want to try this removable thing, but I'm assuming you're like making sure you shave off every nub as close to the trunk as possible, right?
Very much so. I don't know if I'm a stub Nazi, so to speak, which some guys claim to be, but when I'm rigging, I could probably not count the number of times that I've had to descend 15, 20, 30 feet to get a piece that I rigged, you know, that got hung up on a stub to the left, or, you know, it's just annoying things like that. And sometimes pieces are not that small, right? So it's not a matter of just going down and lifting it off the stub. It just becomes a whole nother project of going down and trying to cut it up. And sometimes I have to rig the pieces that I cut off the rig piece to avoid damaging things. And I just, you know, learned through pain that removing all the stubs is the best way to do it.
Yeah. I've not had quite the experience that you've had with that, and I don't claim to, but I've definitely taken some big branches that were like over a house, and you put a side notch in them, and you have a pulley that's pulling a block that's pulling the tip around, and you're using it as a hinge, and then it gets off the roof of the house and it snaps like you want it to. And what does it do? It drops like 15 foot and gets caught in a union of nubs that you didn't take off. And you're like, oh, and you got to go down there and cut it all off and not cut your rigging ropes that's holding the weight. And oh man, it's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. It can make for a pretty, you know, frustrating experience when you get stuff, or even retrieving friction savers off spars, it will get caught on the one stub that you left.
Yeah, so I could imagine. I think that's what's kind of stopped me, because I've always had this tendency to leave little nubs so that I could stand on them. But
yeah,
I don't think I really need to do that, because like with at least the Arb Pro boots that I'm wearing, the clipping steps, the shanks in the boot, right, in the sole of the boot are stiff enough that standing on spikes isn't really that uncomfortable.
No, it's not so bad when you have boots that are made for it.
You know,
I wear the ArborTech scaffold lights, and they are amazing with spikes.
Really?
I think they're strictly a removal boot or for groundwork. They're great for groundwork as well. They're not so great for pruning.
What do you
pruning? Not like really. I have Arb Pro Evos.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty much. Very similar to the clip and step.
Yeah. So if anybody's listening that hasn't heard my recent podcast about, I got to tell you this real quick, Zach, before we get into this. I was asked by like five different people to do a podcast on how I climb trees.
Okay. That's very general.
Yeah. And they wanted to know how you climb how I personally climb canopy trees versus like evergreens versus tall spindly trees, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not making fun of the question, because they admit they're newer to climbing.
No, I know what you mean.
But so I'm not making fun, but do you know how challenging that podcast was to talk to myself about how I climb trees?
Yeah, I mean, where do you even start? Yeah. I guess we're setting the line, right?
I was like, oh, I need somebody to talk to. That's actually why I sent you the message earlier today. I was like, if I talk to somebody about this, it'll be easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a lot of training for a company in Ohio teaching newer climbers or guys with no climbing experience. And yeah, it's not that easy.
Yeah. It's so, there's so many nuances.
Mm-hmm.
Like so many little details that shift with very specific differences. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I mean, just like I like the spider jack, but half the guys I know don't like it. It's going to be the same for a newer climber. You know, what worked for me when I was starting off is not necessarily going to work for them.
Yeah. And just basic techniques, like when do you stay on top of the branch or the lead or the trunk of the tree climbing out with spikes versus spiking the top and the bottom and climbing out the side versus monkeying up it from the bottom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all,
yeah, whatever you can do, I guess.
Well, you know, it depends on certain aspects too. Like how steep is it? What other branches are impeding and all kinds of just nuanced stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's not real easy to put in a, this is what you do thing.
No, I know I was self-taught and, you know, I just had to figure a lot of things out and some things I just never figured out. But, you know, point being, by I started working with a production company. I already had a couple years of climbing experience, and I worked with Derek Martin, Country Boy PA, you know, and he's like, you know, you just got to get out there, dude. He's like, nah, dude, I'm sorry, you got to go higher, you got to go out further.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, it just constantly pushing me, you know, if I said a redirect, you know, what do you think of my redirect, Derek? I would have gone higher, you know. And what if I take the top right here, Derek? No, you got to go higher, you know. What if I make this pruning cut right here? You got to get out there further, dude. And it's just like, you know, just constantly pushing me. And, you know, it for me, in my personal learning style, it just really worked well because I'm really, really competitive. And, you know, I was like, I'm going to be better than this guy, man. I'm telling you, I'm still not there yet. So,
yeah, he's good
saying that. But, yeah, but, you know, it just that really pushed me. But not everybody's like that. You know, some guys need a lot of patience at the beginning. And, some guys don't. Some guys are like, you know, I'm going to figure this out. Just leave me alone, whatever it's. But, yeah,
it's hard, man. It really is. And everybody's different, you know, like just – your physical abilities, the speed that your mind assimilates the information around you, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all different for people.
It is.
It's a challenge for sure. Somebody recently said something about climbing trees and I was like, you know what? And they were specifically talking about, you know, getting into arborist tree climbing. And I was like, you know what? The thing is this. Anybody with a bit of money can buy gear and climb a tree. Like anybody.
That's true. No, but, absolutely. Especially like big shots and all this stuff.
Yeah. But to climb them daily and to remove large branches over fragile structures or high dollar, you know, drop zones, to do it safe so you don't kill or damage yourself, don't damage your equipment needlessly, and definitely don't cause death or injury to people below you. That's what takes skill.
Yeah, it definitely does. It's a daily practice. You know, every time you do one something, every time you rig a branch over a house and present it with different situations, you get a little bit more confident, a little bit better at it with each success. Failures, you know, you can learn from those as well. So,
yeah,
everybody has them. You know, some guys have been lucky. Like, I've been so far, I should knock on wood or something, but I've been lucky enough to not really like destroy any houses or anything like that. I've cracked some driveways and, you know, broken mailboxes and things like that. Yeah, but thus far, I've been pretty fortunate to learn from other people's mistakes and not my own.
Yeah, well, I had one instance very briefly that this guy had a little pump house because out here they have irrigation.
Water, right?
So you have a little pump and it sits in a house that looks like usually a little dog house or something. You know what I mean? to protect it.
All right. Yeah.
And he's like, whatever you do, don't hit the pump house. And like halfway through the day, you know what I did? I chunked a piece of wood. I was in a bucket of all stupid things. I should have just spun the bucket around and dropped it on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I can make it. I chunk it and I'm watching it and I'm like, oh no. And not only did it shatter the house, but it totally busted all the PVC.
Oh. Oh. And it all happened in slow motion, I'm sure.
Of course, you know. And I'm like, oh, goodness, yeah. But he was nice enough about it, actually. So it was out of season, so they weren't using it for yard irrigation or anything. And he's like, no, nah, it's okay. I was like, I'll pay for it, you know. I'll just – because it was my fault. I'll do it. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. And
that's cool. He's,
yeah, he was like, you did such a good job on the tree. Don't worry about it. I was like, well, I appreciate it, but I am so sorry. I was trying real hard not to. And as soon as it left my hand, I was like, I did not have the strength to chuck that as far as I should have.
As hard as you thought, yeah.
You know?
I'll catch you off guard.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
What I was going to mention is, if you guys are looking at boots, I would recommend looking at the Evo boots by ArbPro versus the clip and step, and here's why. I've had an experience with the ArbPro that clip and steps, that the strap you're supposed to clip your knee ascender into, you know what I'm talking about,
Zach? Yes, I do.
It snapped off on me.
It happens to a lot of guys.
Yeah, the heads of the bolts shear off, and I just happened to be holding on to the rope, and it was my hand. My left hand was about at chin level, and when I stepped and those bolts sheared and the strap failed, my face went forward and I hit my lip on my thumb and it busted my lip open.
Yeah, that sucks.
And it's
that's one of those irritating injuries.
Yeah, you're right. And it shakes you up a little bit. It like shakes your confidence a little bit. You know you weren't going to fall. You know what I mean? But
yeah, it'll give you a little bit of a. I've had very similar to when you think you're in a clean union and you start climbing up and your rope drops 3 inches because you're over a sucker right above the union. It'll give you a little scare.
Yeah. Well, there's another story about that, but I might save that one for another time. but you know, it takes you a few minutes to sit there and you have to like sit there and like regain your composure a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the moral of the story is the ArbPro clip and step boots really aren't, in my opinion, for the clip and step feature, worth the money. But they're good boots for climbing in. I just run them with a foot loop now.
Yeah, I have a Haas knee ascender, but I have the one with the incorporated foot loop.
Yeah, I've got the one with the carabiner.
Yeah, I thought about switching to that, and I have a friend, he's on Instagram, Third Coast Boogie, he runs the Arb Dogs too, Tim. Yeah, and he's like, oh, don't worry about it, dude, you know, just send him back, he'll give you a new pair, and, you know, he's all about that foot loop. I've heard from guys that it's great. If I was going to use the other version of the Haas, I think I'd probably buy a separate foot loop, just because, I don't know, man,
You wear
I'm
through
weird about stuff, yeah. And my boots—they're so pretty, you know. Like I don't want to like rip the clip out of them or whatever it is. The little loopy and the Evos have that loop too. And I've just never really tried it.
Yeah. So well, I run the I was running a Stein foot loop, which was fine. I found that it's kind of a one size fits all, which my foot was wide enough. It cinched it down fairly well, but I don't know how a smaller foot would do with it.
All right.
The new Recoil foot loop, Dan from Recoil sent me one.
And how is that?
Dude, as good as everything else Recoil makes. I
like their products.
You got to get one. It is probably the most robust foot loop I have used.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I might try one. I was thinking about making that switch, but, you know, I'll do it when I wear out my current Haas, I think.
Yeah. No, why spend the money on something when you don't need to? I mean, if it's working.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And then how many, honestly, like, I love my knee ascender. How many times do we really ascend throughout the course of a climb? I mean, I guess if it's like a really widespread, you know, oak, and you're working off a number of different redirects, you might ascend a little bit more often. But for the most part, we ascend like once or twice, maybe three times. A little short burst at a time, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you're rigging and what's going on too. Like recently I had to do a willow that was, you know, willows, they don't really grow with a central lead. They all like sprawl out like a cup. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, if you know anything about willows, you'll know that they don't have any good strong structural points to them just about at all.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
They
suck. And so you're always setting up multiple redirects for rigging, because it was over a building and stuff. And it's not like you can get out on the tips of the branches. Every branch you cut is 30 foot long, it feels like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was climbing and I had to do a lot more ascending there. And that knee ascender made it awesome. I mean, that was like, you know.
Yeah, it saves a lot of energy.
Yeah. My current problem is that I'm running a CMI foot ascender and I'm not stoked on it. The webbing.
That's the juice box. The real big one they call the juice box.
I don't know if they call it the juice box. I've never heard that, but it's the blue one that's
huge, right?
Yeah, it's kind of big.
Yeah.
The webbing friction latch on them.
Okay.
Doesn't hold very well. So as you're climbing, the webbing
loosens up on your foot.
Loosen, and then the ascender starts to flop around on your foot, and then the rope gets bound in it. And it doesn't tend as smoothly as it should because it's no longer vertically oriented with the rope. It's kind of kicked forward.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So is it horrible? No, but there is a reason that the CMI foot ascender is the cheapest one available, you know.
Yeah, I like the CT. I've always had good luck with that.
I need to try that.
And I know. Yeah, the CT is a good one. I like that it you can lock it open to put the rope on, and then when you're climbing, it actually stays locked closed so that you can't kick the rope out.
Yeah, that's,
I imagine the CMI has a lock like that.
It does, but the CT is the same one they use on the Haas, right? Essentially.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. A guy that's working with me now, he's running the Camp foot ascender.
All right. I don't think they have a lock on them.
They don't, and the rope keeps kicking out on him, and he has to. You're supposed to put a like an accessory beaner or something in there to keep it.
Yeah,
something, but that just seems cumbersome. Now it does.
It does. It sounds really annoying.
Yeah, but it rolls super fluidly. I just don't know why they can't put a gate on it.
I don't know either. I know they have those rollers in there to make it nice. The Petzl Pantene is like that too. There's no catch. You can buy one separately. I don't understand why it doesn't just come with it. But, yeah, you can buy one separately, a little catch to keep it from being able to open once, whatever.
I
stick with this.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you're good. I just stick with the CT. I mean, there's no reason to change.
Like the fact that you can buy the Zillin with a lanyard but not without it?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It makes no sense. No sense. Oh well. I had a spin. So I bought a Zillin, right? And
yeah,
I really like it. But that rope in the lanyard is awful, man. Oh, that rope that comes with the Zillin, that yellow and black, whatever it is. Awful lanyard rope. So
yeah, I can see that.
It picks real bad. It frays real bad. It's not very fluid across crotches or bark. It's just, yeah. Dude, I love the Tri-Tech, though.
Tri-Tech's good stuff. I'm interested to try the Yale Ring.
Yeah, I want
really
to try
similar
that
to Tri-Tech.
Ray keeps building me up on it, but I got to wait for it to get in. So. Well, man, I told you I wouldn't keep you too long. It's been about the time I told you. So I'll let you go. And hopefully this won't be the last time I have you on the show, though. It'd be awesome to keep up.
Definitely. I'd like to come back sometime, man.
Yeah. I mean, I won't hound you all the time about it, but we...
That's all right.
We always seem to have good conversations, which is nice. It just flows. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, dude. Yeah, it's been fun, man. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. And please, with everything, not just COVID and all that, which everybody's got to worry about right now, but just be safe out there, man.
Thanks, man. You do the same, dude. Yeah, wash your hands, you know? That's what they say these days.
Yeah. And practice social distancing. You better be cutting every log at least 6 foot long if you're going to have to have somebody else help you pick it up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I try to stay above everybody, you know? they say Corona can't fly above like 10 feet or so. So I think I'm all right. That's not true. That's obviously not true, but yeah.
Don't listen to Zigzag Man about coronavirus.
Yeah, not a doctor. I'm not a doctor.
Well, seriously, man, thanks so much for being on the show. And I will get back with you later when we can, you know, get another episode together. And I want to thank everybody else for listening to me and Zach talk about climbing. I don't know why you're here listening to us talk about it, but I'm glad that you are. You know, the industry is very cool. It's been great to me. It's nice to meet people like Zach. So thanks, man. Seriously.
Yeah, thank you, man. I like talking to you. Spend the time. Thanks.
Yeah, and don't forget to give Ray and Kyle a hard time. What's really funny is when you walk in the store and I'm on the phone with them.
Yeah.
That it gives them a real good go.
It's happened a few times.
Yeah. Well, that's because I'm always on the phone with Ray.
There you go.
All right, guys.
Well, man, I'm always there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you are. Between me and Zach, we keep that place in business.
I think so. I don't know, man.
But so if you haven't, go check out Gap Arbor Supply. They're in Gap, Pennsylvania. Or you can check out GapArborSupply.com. And if you've heard about them through my podcast or my videos or through Zigzag Man's Instagram, make sure you let them know. Let them know where you're learning about them from. And don't forget, they have, what is it, free shipping on every order and free 2-day on orders over $100?
Yes, sir. No minimums on free shipping.
Yeah. So, and their prices, seriously, are competitive with everybody else. You're not going to find really a better deal than what you'll get from them. And they have a climber's code. Go to their website and look up the discount code. And, give them a go. It's worth it.
Yes, sir. Yep. TreeClimb. TreeClimb is your 10% discount code.
That's it. All right, guys. You all be safe and enjoy the podcast. And I'll wrap up with Zach off of the recording. And we'll go from there.